Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore, where our mission is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Welcome back, podcast listeners. Andrew here, and with me, of course, is Dr. Tim Elmore. How are you, Tim?
I'm glad to be here.
Good. Well, we're talking about a subject we've talked about many times on this podcast and social media, but we're gonna talk about some strategies that are going on out there, and we want to invite our audience to participate in this. We'll talk about how to get there. But first, I want you to sort of start us off on this conversation, because you had a recent conversation that was very revealing of sort of the status, the state of phones and social media and emerging generations today.
Yeah, I sure did. It was just yesterday. Well, first and foremost, let me say this. The problems that smartphones introduce to society at large, and specifically schools, are not new.
Now, we've been here for a while.
At least a decade, if not more. We've been tossing around ideas on how do we handle this as administrators, as educators, as parents, etc. But yesterday, Andrew, I was speaking to a group of general managers at a company, and I spoke to one of these managers who had three recent college grads on his team.
Okay.
And he was very excited to announce to his team that he was going to take them on a mini cruise. So out on a ship, they're going to take a cruise out in the Caribbean.
Love it.
Not a bad few days.
Yeah.
So in his excitement, he said, "All right, I want to hear. Now that I've revealed this, what are you looking forward to most?" So three of his younger team members, all about 22, 23 years old, kind of looked apathetic rather than passionate about this cruise. And that seemed odd to him. He goes, what are you looking forward to most? One young lady, 22 years old, said, "I'm looking forward to Friday when this whole thing is over."
Oh.
Yeah. So he's going, "I can't believe this. You know, what's
not only is
this?
She saying this, she's saying it to her boss."
That's exactly right. He said, "She said it to my face. It'd be better if she would have said it behind my back." Like, "I'm not really looking forward to this."
Yeah.
But when he pressed a little bit more, the primary reason was not she didn't like cruises. She wasn't going to get to have her phone for those days. You know, you don't really get a signal if you're out away from civilization.
Yeah.
So on the drive back and I'm not even going to say where it is, but on the drive back to home base, this general manager had this young lady in the car, and they were just driving, and she was, of course, scrolling through her phone, catching up on all she'd missed in those days.
While she had to talk to people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And he said, "I'd really like to have a conversation." Well, she didn't even look up. She just kept scrolling.
Wow.
She was non-responsive. And so he then said, "I'm speaking to you as your employer. I want you to put your phone in the back seat and let's talk." So he had to get a little firm. He's not a mean guy.
Yeah.
But he had to be a little firm. So this forced a conversation that turned out to be very authentic and very revealing. Once they stopped the DUI, driving under the influence of a phone. but I bring this up because more and more, Andrew, you and I both hear people talk about some semblance of a story like this.
Yeah.
And we're now, I don't even know how maybe we're so numb to it. We go, it's just today. But does it have to be?
Yeah.
We're finding leaders, parents, administrators, teachers, coaches that are finding creative and, I think, effective ways to make sure that we're not living under the LUI, living under the influence, but we're able to make those smartphones and that social media a servant rather than a master.
Yeah. Well, it feels like one of the big transitions that's happened in the last few years, especially post-COVID, is it's gone from being a problem between the individual teacher and the individual student in a class to being the problem of policymakers, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
The entire district is now thinking about what are we going to do with our phones. The entire, sometimes the state legislature is thinking about what are we going to do with our phones. So it feels like the problem is sort of graduating. And that's why we're seeing, I think, an influx of more and more ideas coming to the table.
No doubt about it. So it begs the term we've often used around here is you got to figure out whether you got a problem to solve or attention to manage.
Yeah.
This is now attention to manage.
I agree.
Phones are not going away, and we don't want them to go away completely.
No. Yeah.
But we sure got to figure out how to be the master, not the servant,
love it.
To social media.
Love
it. So these days, I'm meeting school administrators, just as you are, Andrew, yeah. and reading about school decisions regarding smartphone use that ranges everything from banning portable devices on the campus to displaying a laissez-faire attitude regarding phones, saying, well, we kind of throw up our hands and say, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means anymore. It is what it is. So many educators are making some good decisions, and this tug of war that we feel happening in our schools now for well over a decade, it's finally getting some resolve for some of the schools. Mm. And what I'd like to do, listeners, in this conversation, if you'll bear with us and stay with us, is offer three case studies that represent categories of decisions
yeah.
that schools can make. Pressure is felt on every side. I mean, one school that decided to ban the phones, parents go, no, no, no. I need to get in touch with my child. What if there's a school shooting? You know,
yeah.
and you go, well, I get
it's
that.
It's a legitimate concern.
It
yeah.
is. So anyway, that's where we want to go. And Andrew, talk about the link in the show notes that we're going to yeah. offer so people can weigh in themselves.
Yeah. And this is how this is going to be different. We always throw out different ideas and yeah. stories and all of that. But we actually want you to share your stories as well. So you, like us, have been talking about and living with kids and smartphones for the better part of a decade now. So we'd love to hear, what is your school doing? What are your leaders doing? Maybe you're a parent. What are you doing in your home to address, as Tim said, not the problem to solve, but rather the tension to manage? Smartphones are not going away. So how are you managing that tension? Have you found balance in this conversation? Yeah. There's going to be a link in the show notes of this podcast. Simply click that and you'll be able to drop yeah. your answers in there. We'll be able to see those, and who knows, maybe we might show back up and talk about them
yeah,
on the podcast.
Well, we'd love your ideas. What we want to do is be a broker of the best ideas out there
yeah,
so people who are listening
out.
Can say, let's do this right. Okay, so I'm going to jump in, Andrew.
Let's do it.
Three case studies. Case study number one. I guess you could call case study number one, remove the mirrors solution.
Okay.
Can I call it that?
Yeah.
Remove the mirrors. So, listeners, one North Carolina middle school came up with a way to curb TikTok use specifically among its students. It was removing the bathroom mirrors.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Okay.
Yeah. So for the Southern Alamance Middle School in Graham, North Carolina, it was affecting attendance and productivity in the classroom. Students at the school were, quote, going to the bathroom for long periods of time. That's what the principal said. Going to the bathroom for long periods of time. And up to 9 times a day. So you can tell. This is not
them drinking Walla water.
No, that's right.
This is something else going on.
What they were doing, of course, was making TikTok videos, at least according to Les Atkins, a spokesman for the Alamance Burlington school system. So the school chose not to ban completely the smartphones for safety concerns, namely the record number of school shootings that we've all witnessed or heard about on school campuses. Parents want to know that they can contact their child. Makes sense.
Yeah.
The faculty believes that the students need to learn how to be responsible with the devices and that removing them actually steals that opportunity.
Yeah.
So you can see that,
yep.
that way of thinking. So technology can ensure that all students are accounted for, and so that means they do need to have the phones in their hand. So what this middle school did was they removed the bathroom mirrors because, you know, now I can't stand in front of it and pose over and over and over again. Do I sound like an old baby boomer right
now? Yeah.
So and this school, by the way, just so you know, does use a digital hall pass to track students.
Yeah.
In other words, I can tell if Stacy's been in there for 25 minutes.
Yes, because we have a cue of when she walked out of the
classroom. That's exactly right, when she might have a little mirror in her purse.
Uh-huh,
you know,
yep.
That does happen.
There are ways to solve this problem.
That's exactly right. So that's the remove the mirror solution.
It's interesting.
Okay?
Yeah. It feels like that family of solutions is really about removing the incentive or the environment in which
that's right.
making a TikTok video sounds attractive. You know,
this would be going back to that topic we talked about earlier in a podcast, the nudge.
Yeah.
You know, nudging is how most human behavior happens.
Yep, yep.
You're in line at the grocery store, and the nudge that chewing gum companies do is they put the chewing gum right mm-hmm. at eye level, so you pick one
or
up.
Or for me, the Reese's cups. Those are dangerous.
Reese's peanut butter cups could be the nudge.
Yes.
Yeah. So at this school, and I think they're very wise, they said the nudge we're going to give is we're just going to remove the temptation when you go to the bathroom to see yourself and want to.
It's an interesting solution.
Yes, it is. Yes. So the second solution that one school has come up with is a little bit more drastic.
Okay.
It's the remove the phone solution.
Yeah.
This is one many have contemplated and some have done. So hundreds of students walked out of classes and off the school campus. when they heard that portable devices were recently banned inside of Madison High School in Houston, Texas. I remember reading about this.
Yeah, I saw some video from it.
Yeah. So school leaders and the Board of Education members decided to just outlaw smartphones, noting that the data, and this is true data, showed that phones are not only a source of distraction, but actually of anxiety and even depression.
Yeah.
You look at any studies on Instagram, and we see the good and the bad.
Truth.
And the bad, of course, especially for girls, is I just get depressed, and now I'm comparing myself and, you know, all this other stuff. So the school said, you know what? Easiest solution? Don't bring the school. Bring the phone to the school. So naturally, it was a well-intentioned decision. Some might still say it was good. But their students today, the students today feel very empowered to protest what they don't like. And in this case, that's exactly what they did. Mm. We've been reading for years now about how Gen Z is predisposed to feel like this is a bit of a democracy here.
Yeah.
And I will talk if I want to have a voice.
Yep.
And I don't think that's wrong as long as it's done respectful. This is just me. Again, I'm an older guy, but I'm telling you, the students, I saw footage, and I think you did too. They're just walking off campus and crossing the street and standing out there, by the way, with their phone in their hand.
Yes, they are.
Off the campus.
You're not taking my phone, so I'm just going to walk out.
That's exactly right. So the very phones that were outlawed are this high source of both agency that they felt, you know, I can leave and protest, but then that anxiety as well. So the students at this school admitted that this was a long time coming. This was not a knee-jerk reaction by the administrators. They've been talking and talking and talking. One of these students, in fact, said, it's not just the anxiety and the distractions either. Madison Rittenhouse said, and I quote, it's the fights and the kids bringing weapons and the kids and their drama. So this school just said, you know what? We don't need any of that. We're just going to do away with them. Mm. That was their choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you and I often lean towards middling ways, right, where we go, hey, we got to learn to live with this device and all of that. But I do simply, I just have a lot of grace on schools who, for whom the smartphone has become such a problem that education is not even happening anymore, you know?
That's right.
And for them to go, you know what? We got a drastic problem. It requires a drastic solution.
Yeah.
And I think there are some schools around America where that is the reality.
I think you're right. And I'll just add one more quick comment. I think that leaders who do this, they've got some experience. Anytime we see a change that we don't like, we eventually can get used to it. And the students would get used to those 6 or 7 hours where I'm not, you know, on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and they actually learn something. But it was a drastic response. I think the school thought, you know what, we'll make the trade-off. It is a trade-off, but we think we'll have more gains than losses.
Yeah.
So
it's a very interesting conversation. So we're about to get to the third case study here. Before we get there, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear from you. Hey guys, Andrew here. I'd like to talk to you about our curriculum, Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning. Growing up in a post-pandemic world means that many students today are facing new challenges and often don't have the social and emotional skills to handle it all. When students possess skills like self-awareness, impulse control, empathy, teamwork, and responsible decision-making, they're prepared to not only survive, but succeed inside and outside of the classroom. Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning comes in both middle school and high school versions and presents a fun, image-based pedagogy designed to delight and challenge your students. Find out more about how you can get Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning to your school by going to growingleaders.com/SEL. All right, Tim, we are back. We've talked about two different case studies, two different categories of solutions. I want you to get to the third one, which is probably the most balanced of the three.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to call this remove the options solution. Mm-hmm. Okay. So countless middle and high schools have taken a different, more hybrid route. Knowing that 95% of teens between the ages of 13 and 17 report using social media, and more than a third of them saying they use it almost constantly. And by the way, this is according to a report from the U.S. Surgeon General, so this is legit. Many schools have chosen a solution in the middle, and here's the middle solution. Classrooms have wall hangings with pockets for the students to place their phones inside those pockets as they walk into class. So right there, you can picture a burlap or some sort of fabric with a bunch of pockets, 25 pockets for 25 students.
Yep.
The students immediately upon entering the class just put their phone in their pocket, pocket 23,
so
pocket
12. So it's very close by.
Yeah, that's right. They can see them. And once in a while, during the class, you say, I need you to get your phones. We're going to look something up now. And so it could be useful and educational, even though as a norm, we're not going to have better heads.
We're using it for a very specific intended purpose in that case. Yeah.
So when a teacher wants to use that phone as a portable device, the kids go and retrieve them for a classroom project and then return them immediately afterwards. And then at the end of the school day, students are free to take them and return home or to their after-school activity. So this solution recognizes that technology is neither good nor evil, but can be utilized for educational purposes, dare I say, redemptive purposes, while on campus. And in this case, the answer is in the middle.
Yeah.
So we would like to know your perspective. I don't know if you want to comment real quick before we go to allowing our listeners to weigh in on this.
Yeah, I would just return to that statement, right? This is attention to manage. So, we're incredibly curious as we've gotten these three case studies to get even more case studies. So we'd love for you to share. Click that link in the show notes. Tell us what you guys are doing at your school or in your environment, whatever that is. What's your strategy to approach smartphones? And how are you helping create balance, or managing that tension?
Yeah. One thing I'd like to note before I ask you, Andrew, to kind of close this out is, I went to school, K-12 that is, well, K-12 and college, pretty much in the 1960s and 70s. Mm. You have a history book. You remember those days.
Yeah, I've read about them for sure.
Yes, you have, yes. So I remember we went through a similar dilemma when school calculators came out.
Mm.
And we thought, the kids will never learn math if they have a calculator. Don't use calculator. Keep those out of the classroom. But then we realized, no, that can be helpful.
Yeah.
I still need to learn my math tables.
Yep.
Multiplication, addition, subtraction, but a calculator might be helpful.
Yeah.
AI came along. Oh my gosh, AI is going to be the ruin of us all. I have a feeling we're going to find a way to manage it and use it. And I think the same must be true with smartphones.
Yeah.
We need to not get mad. We need to get busy.
Yeah.
We need to not get mad. We need to get busy. And I want to challenge you listeners, whether you're an administrator or a teacher or a mom or dad, find ways to put that tool to use it as a tool, not a weapon.
Yeah.
And that's
or
that's
a crutch,
exactly,
right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So
that's great.
Close this out, Andrew.
Yeah. Well, there's a really interesting story that it's a person. We started all with a person that we met because it was revelatory to me for the first time a few years ago when I heard about this organization. That what if we involved students in this conversation?
Yeah.
That's the one thing that's very unique about this is each of your three examples are involving parents or adults making decisions on behalf of students about student behavior. There are other organizations that are going, well, let's talk to students about what they want to do.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about focus groups where students go, I'm not so sure smartphones are so helpful for me, you know? So there is this realization. But years ago, we met a woman named Kim who has founded an organization called I Can Help. And in fact, you can search the hashtag I Can Help and find all kinds of things on there. But what she started actually was a program called Digital First Responders. Digital First Responders. And she was particularly responding to the dangers of the online world, particularly social media, and the realization that if something was going on with a young person on social media, it's not the adults who are going to discover that first.
Yeah.
In the same way as you experience there's a car accident, you call 911, the first responders who get there are the people who are trained to the paramedics. And she began to wonder, what if when a student is experiencing challenges in the social media world, what if the students who are already there on those platforms could step in?
Yeah.
And so she created this Digital First Responders program where they train students, actually, to recognize when specific challenges are beginning to appear, whether it is bullying activity is going on, possibly depression or suicidal ideation is going on, and especially if there is a student who seems to intend to harm themselves or harm other people, that students were equipped to recognize that and to immediately seek help and begin to bring people in. They also train students on digital citizenship.
I love that.
Safety, and their own wellness.
Yeah.
What I love so much about this organization is while Kim is an adult who founded it, Kim Carr is her name, her organization is run almost entirely by students who are high school or younger.
Yeah.
They're the interns. They're running the social media things. They're training other kids. You got kids training kids on how to do this. And to me, what it represents, and I know it's a take on this conversation, but it represents a really interesting novel solution. What would it look like if we brought students in on this conversation?
And on the solution.
And in on the solutions as well. And I think that's such a great example of it. I could not recommend this organization enough. If you want to find out more about them, you go to www.icanhelp.net. Icanhelp.net, and you'll find out more about them. It's a really cool program and a really interesting, unique solution to this problem.
Yep.
Awesome.
Love it.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for sharing. If you are listening and going, hey, I love all this stuff on social media, but I want to push my students to make decisions on their own about all kinds of things in life, and you're looking for a program that can help you do that, we have an amazing program called Habitudes. Habitudes are simply images that form leadership habits and attitudes. We use pictures, stories, and metaphors to create experiences where students get to jump in on the conversation and begin to build soft skills that are going to change their life. If you want to find out more about how you can use stories and images to start amazing conversations, head on over to growingleaders.com and look at our curriculum. You'll find out all about Habitudes. Well, as always, if you would rate this podcast, give us 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, we would greatly appreciate it. If you found this helpful or intriguing and you thought of somebody to share it with, go ahead and share it with them. We would really appreciate that. If you want to connect with us online, we are at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore pretty much everywhere you are. And then finally, if you have ideas for this podcast, whether it's stuff you think we should talk about or maybe a person you think we should interview, we would love to receive your recommendations. All you got to do is send us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those. Tim, thank you once again for leading us today. Thank you all for listening, and we'll